This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. An African-American community in North Carolina is at the center of a debut novel. In West Mills follows the story of its protagonist from the early 1940s to the 1980s in a fictionalized version of small town South Mills in northeastern North Carolina. Azealia Knott Center is an independent, strong-willed woman who wants to live on her own terms. She refuses to comply with social norms. Her next-door neighbor and good friend Otis Lee tries to fix Knott, encourages her to live a more traditional life. The novel explores themes of friendship, forgiveness, and love in a small post-war black community. Author Deshaun Charles Winslow grew up in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, and joins me now. Welcome, Deshaun.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us more about this community that you've created in your new novel.
Well, it is largely based on my mother's hometown, South Mills, North Carolina, a place I grew up loving and spent a lot of time in. It was just next door to Elizabeth City. And I've just, even though I've lived out of North Carolina for some years now, South Mills is the place I think about most, even more than Elizabeth City.
Describe it for me.
It's a small, mostly a farm town. I don't know if that's so much the case now, but it has one grocery store, maybe two gas stations, a canal runs through it. And everyone knows everyone.
For good and for ill.
Tell us
more about Azealia Knott Center.
Azealia Knott Center she's a feisty feminist, even though I don't know if she would call herself a feminist if she was a real person. But she wants to live life on her own terms. She loves alcohol. She loves 19th century literature, and she likes men on her own terms when she wants them around, and she just wants to be left alone. But she's also a caring person. She has a strange way of showing it, but she takes care of people also in her own way.
And she's 26 when this book begins. The novel ends when she's in her 60s. Maybe I could ask you to read for us from the beginning of the book and set things up for us.
Sure.
Talking with Deshaun Charles Winslow, the author of In West Mills, his debut novel, grew up in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, and now lives in New York City.
In October of 41, Azealia Center's man told her he was sick and tired of West Mills and the love affair she had going with Moonshine. Azealia, everyone called her Knott, reminded him that she was a grown woman. "Stop telling me how old you is," Pratt said. "Well, I thought maybe you forgot," Knott retorted. She was sitting at her kitchen table, pulling bobby pins from her copper red hair. She picked up her glass and finished what was left in it. She had barely set it back on the table when Pratt picked it up and threw it against the wall. Then he packed all his clothes in the old suitcase he'd brought with him when he moved into her little house a few years back. "I'm getting out of here," he affirmed. "You need some help packing?" Knott shot back, and she laughed. It wasn't the first time Pratt had packed that ragged bag. He stared at her, frowning. "Drink yourself to death if that's what you want to do." "Go to hell, Pratt." "I'm leaving hell," he yelled. A few days later, Knott came home and found a folded note peeping out from under her door. First, she looked down at the signature. When she saw Pratt Shepherd at the bottom, she took a chilled glass from her icebox, poured a drink, and sat down to look over the message. She read most of it. It said that Pratt was at his sister's house, just across the lane. Knott wasn't surprised. Pratt's sister and her two little girls were the only family he had in West Mills.
Deshaun Charles Winslow, reading from his debut novel, In West Mills. He's going to be at Flyleaf Books in Chapel Hill on Tuesday, June 11th. So this novel has some complicated familial relationships and romantic entanglements. Maybe you can tell us more about the plot.
Sure. So Knott has moved to West Mills from another town in North Carolina. She's a teacher, and many people in the community believe that she has gotten that job based on nepotism. So people kind of don't like her from the beginning. And she has a boyfriend, and as you heard, he doesn't like that she's a drinker. They will break up. And where Otis Lee comes in is he's kind of like her big brother figure. And as time passes, and he's a fixer, he has his own issues in his life, and that's why he has chosen Not as his new project. And his storyline has to do with his past. When he was a teenager, he tried to help his older sister, who he felt had gone off the right path, and he was unsuccessful in helping her. And so he is projecting all of that onto Not. And as years pass, the two become even more involved in each other's life. I won't say how, because that might be too much of a spoiler. But they become even more connected in ways that they can't control. They become connected forever. And the story goes on, and we see them both grappling with things they have chosen to believe about themselves and about others, and just constantly trying to help each other, except the way Not is helping Otis Lee is more silent and more secretive, and Otis Lee's style of helping is more public and outward.
Yeah, it's a fascinating kind of relationship, and as you say, is sort of helping. One is very direct and obvious, and the other is sort of having its effect, but you think this sort of eccentric alcoholic who has things on her own way, what good can she do me? And of course, there's a kind of genius at work here.
Yes.
But tell me, I love this idea of the fixer, Otis, as fixer, and as somebody who does this ostensibly to help you out, but really it's all about untying his own knots. Tell me more about this role and how you created this, where this character comes from, and how it plays out in the novel.
Otis Lee reminds me a lot of myself, to be honest. I have a lot of, I have a lot of friends, and people say I'm easy to talk to. And sometimes I find myself wanting to help people out of their problems. Not that the problems are large, very serious, but sometimes I can be a little overbearing with the people I love. And I definitely think a lot of me is in Otis Lee, but that comes from members of my family, my mom, my dad, aunts and uncles. We are all very loving and caring, and sometimes I fear that we go too far.
have you ever encountered a character like Not?
I have. I can't speak about it in detail, but
okay.
I have.
Okay. So these are all, in some ways, people you know, and of course they become fictionalized in your novel. And I wonder if I can ask you to read another passage for us.
Sure. I will read from the top of Otis Lee's first chapter.
The novel is In West Mills, the debut work of Deshaun Charles Winslow.
I'm so sorry.
It's so new, in fact, that you can't even. And this is from okay. This is from early in the book, right?
Yes. Okay. This is a little bit from chapter two.
Mm-hmm.
After slapping hogs' butts all day at Pennington Farm, Otis Lee returned to Antioch Lane to attend to his own small backyard farm. He and Pep had chickens, a lot of chickens, more than anyone else on the lane. One neighbor had said, "Otis Lee, lovin', I swear it's more chickens in your coop than it is people in West Mills. Is you raising them for to be ate or for them to eat us?" Not happened to be visiting Otis Lee at that time, and she snapped, "Just buy the damn eggs or shut up." Otis Lee had secretly gotten a kick out of that. It was time for the chickens' second feeding. Pep was in charge of the first. One thing Otis Lee loved to do was to feed his chickens. He called them cluckers. There was something about the way they came running when he heard him reach his hand into the pail and pull out a handful of dry corn. It made him feel needed. It was a different kind of needed from Peps and Breezy's. All they needed was love, the love he showed from being there. Other people and the Cluckers might not fare as well if he weren't around, checking in, warding off danger, or steering them from it. After he threw a handful of feed onto the ground, he looked around and noticed that something wasn't the same as it had been the afternoon before. It seemed as though the Cluckers weren't as loud, or there weren't as many of them. Otis Lee stood looking around his feet, not counting exactly, but studying them. First, he scanned the birds to see if he could find Ruby and her pet his pet hen. He spotted her and let out a breath he didn't realize he'd been holding. "Pep," he yelled toward the house. He looked back down at the Cluckers around the coop. No reply from Pep. And again, "Penelope." And when Pep finally came to the window and raised it, he asked, "You let somebody come in my coop and steal some of my Cluckers?" Pep sucked her teeth and went about shutting the window. "You hear me talking to you?" he said. "Ain't nobody stole nothing, fool," Pep said. "I sold 3 this morning, and there's one in my stove, and your mama and grandma got 2 back there in their stove." Pep pointed past the coop to the other house.
That's author DeShawn Charles Winslow reading from his debut novel In West Mills. Going to be talking about the novel at Flyleaf Books in Chapel Hill Tuesday, June 11th. And, of course, we've got all that information at our website, stateofthings.org. You've gotten high praise for your ability to capture the dialect and the cadences of that speech in that part of the country. Is that what you heard growing up in Elizabeth City? Is that more subtly what we would have heard in the rural parts around Elizabeth City?
Yes, the dialect is pretty much what I heard growing up. I didn't go to daycare before I started kindergarten, so my parents asked older women in the community to babysit me, and so that's the sort of speech I heard growing up for the majority of my early childhood.
You talked about the fact that Otis, the character Otis, reminds you a lot of you. Knott is a very strong character, obviously, in this book. She's a woman. Was it hard for you to find the voice of a woman?
It was not, because being a young gay black male in North Carolina, or in where I grew up, I didn't have a lot of access to men. I had a father in the home, and I had, you know, uncles and all who always treated me kindly. But when the moment it's detected that a boy is gay, he is sent off to be with the women. And so women raised me. Women taught me everything I know. And so that's who I was around all the time. And so it was not hard at all to write the voice of a woman. Otis Lee's voice was harder.
Oh, that's it. Who is somebody who, in behavior anyway, reminded you somewhat of you? What made then the voice of Otis more difficult, if behaviorally, like he seemed like a guy a little bit like you?
Well, because I don't know what straight men talk about, and I don't know what straight men think about. You know, I could have taken stereotypical routes and just made everything about women and sex. You know.
When you talked about this business about being sent off, it's interesting to think about this, you know, in communities, in any community where we expect some kind of discrimination. So if you're going to be discriminated against because you're gay, I'm expecting to hear about bullying. I'm expecting to hear about some level of violence that you may have experienced. But what you told me was, no, you get sent off. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. What I mean by sent off is that let's say at a family cookout, let's say the boys my age are playing basketball with their fathers or their uncles or whatever, I might be invited to play for a moment. But the moment it was detected that I didn't have the skill, or maybe not even as much interest as the other boys, someone would politely say, "Go over with your other cousins," you know, meaning my girl cousins. Yeah, so I would be politely dismissed. But the bullying was rough. Middle school and the first couple of years of high school was rough. It was not physically violent. I'm very grateful for that. But I did endure a lot of verbal bullying.
It's fascinating to think about this because the loving way you capture the place where you grow up, and the place really is not to be cliche, but it is a character in this book. So it's obviously has a powerful hold on you. But now you're living in New York City. I mean, did you feel you had to move away?
Oh, absolutely. I left home 1 month after graduating high school. I didn't come straight to New York. I went to Durham, North Carolina, but I had to get to a bigger place where I knew there were other gay people.
What do you hope readers are going to take away from In West Mills?
I hope that readers will learn something about a small community, about small communities all over the world that don't necessarily always make it onto the map, so to speak. And also, I would like readers to learn that often we shun or look down on people with addiction, such as alcoholism or whatever, but it doesn't make them intellectually inferior. I've tried to create a character who is very wise. Yes, she has an addiction, but she is very wise and intelligent and takes care of people as much as she expects them to take care of her.
Deshaun Charles Winslow, author of In West Mills. Deshaun, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Deshaun's going to be discussing In West Mills at Flyleaf Books in Chapel Hill on Tuesday, June 11th. And you can find out more about that event at our website, stateofthings.org. You can also sign up for our newsletter if you want. Get a daily preview of our lineup. Our show is produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, and Amanda Magnus. Robin Copley is our technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.